Okay, today is Sechtem Ilah Daf Gimel. Daf Gimel. We want to talk about the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses. How in the world does that apply to, how does that come out of the Gemara in Sechtem Ilah? So let me read to you a short piece of Gemara. Do this in two steps.
That's the definition of Beis HaKnesses, pure Torah, Beis HaMedrash.
Today the truth is our shuls do not have Kedusha. All I think it's understood that our Bate Kinesios and Bate Midrashos, Ruba de Ruba, 95% of the time are built al Tanai. Which means you can use it for, I mean, you're not going to be mezalzel in the Kedusha, you're not going to have a movie in the Shul, a secular movie, but there'll be meetings, not so uncommon to have community meetings, things that are related to the Tzibur. Okay, it depends. It depends on the shul, but it's not so.
Is there a difference between a private shul and a public?
Not really. Every shul that's used by its tzibur.
It's not private. The rabbi owns the shul. He owns the house. He owns the building.
What does he do with this? I mean,
he uses it because he wants a shul in his house, but he's in charge. He pays the bills.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the parameter. I'm not sure. Usually,
when it's not that comparably speaking to some Hasidic rav,
right? But I mean, the kedusha is pretty much the same. You're not allowed to do. There's certain things that you don't do in the shul. There's certain things like you have a kid. Things that we are very lenient. Like people, you eat here, right? But it's Beis HaKnesses, but you davening here. And a Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to eat. Beis Medrash, you can eat. But a Beis Medrash means, a real Beis Medrash means you don't learn, you don't daven. Beis Medrash means you just sit and learn. You just sit and learn, it's all you do. Oh, you're just sitting and learning? Okay, so you can eat, you can take a nap, it's like a library. To a certain degree. It has a certain Kedusha. In some ways it's greater Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses, in some ways it's less. But you are allowed to eat and sleep and do certain things. But it's not the only thing that you do. You also daven in this room. If you're davening in this room, so this room should be upgraded to the status of a Beis HaKnesses. And a Beis HaKnesses, you are not allowed to eat, sleep, and talk Dvar Metalim and have community meetings. So what's going on?
I think these shuls were built out tonight.
Exactly. This shul is a shtibel. It's a room. Just like the Hasidim, they call this a shtibel. It's a room. It's a room that's built al Tanai, that we want to limit its sanctity, that we should be able to do here whatever we need to do. But of course, within the framework of that, we're going to treat it with a certain degree of Kedusha to serve Hashem. But we don't want it to get that ultimate sanctity where we're prevented from eating and drinking, because then we would Yotza Schor Behefseda. Okay, well, let's... What? Yeah, but even upstairs, in the main shul upstairs, it's true. That's a certain style, the old certain style. But
that's purely
even built off tonight because people do eat and sleep and whatever.
Do they have membership meetings upstairs in the main shul?
Maybe years ago we did. We haven't recently for practical reasons, so not because of.
But probably years ago before they built this whole complex.
Yeah, that building was built before this building.
Right, so they probably had membership meetings there. Membership meeting is not something that you're allowed to do in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, maybe in those days there was no eating.
Not
because
that, we have candy man who gives out candy to the kids.
Oh, very good. Okay, exactly. Okay, very good. And to the adults also.
Who are the kids? The people who fall asleep during the rabbi speech.
Okay, so that's standard. It's built all tonight. We don't have the full sanctity. It's diminished. Absolutely. But let's see. The Gemara here mentions. Okay, the Gemara here mentions Hanena Menachatas Keshehi. Let me just start back from a piece of Gemara. Hanena Menachatas. The Gemara has a question. Midrabanan lo. The Gemara is Mei Tsunami Tanina. We learned that if the animal dies, you are, there is no, we're discussing primarily the laws of Mi'ilah. If an animal dies, the law of Mi'ilah disappears. You have an animal that is a carbon, and the animal dies. Let me just read the words. Mei Tsunami Tanina, Hatanena Min Achatas, Kishehi Chaya. If a person has benefit from a carbon chatas when it's alive, you're not going to be chayv mila until you diminish its value. That's a technical term. You're not going to be chayv mila until you have benefit from the animal, at least a prut, or the value of the animal has been diminished. You cut off some of its wool. But basically, what it means is there is potential for there to be mi'ila when the animal is alive, and you have to have derived benefit in a certain way. When the animal died, then the mi'ila does not depart. Even a dead animal, a dead carbon, there is mi'ila. Now this is midrabanan. This type of mi'ila is only midrabanan. We'll see in a moment. The less behu mi'ila kamash b'makid. That's not the point I really wanted to make. I'm sorry for bringing that up, but let's go a little bit further. V'chata shemei samisba mi'ila. The Gemara now has a question. Really, we just mentioned in passing that a carbon chatos that dies, there is mi'ila. You have an animal that's set aside for a carbon, and it has died. It retains kedusha to the degree that if a person derives ben from the carcass, he's chayef for all the laws of the mesecta, the ila. Really? V'hotnan. But we learned in the Mishnah, chatos hamesos, umohos haholchos liyam hamelach, loinenin v'loy mayalin. So we have a rule. Now, what are the chatos hamesos? There are five chatos hamesos. Basically means, let's say, classic case is the owner died. An animal has been set aside as a carbon chatas, and the owner of the animal has died. So what do you do with this animal? Halacha l'moshe misinai, the animal is put into a cage, and it's fed barley, and its stomach expands, and there's no room for the stomach to expand in this body cage, and it dies. Why can't we redeem the animal, or why can't we offer the animal on behalf of the owner? He no longer needs it. He's no longer in this world. He has died. So we're not going to offer a carbon for a person who's dead. Why not give it to someone else? No such thing. A carbon was set aside for Reuven. You cannot transfer the carbon from Reuven to Shimon. Why can't we redeem it? Let it get grazed, get a blemish, and redeem it. You're not allowed to do that when it comes to a carbon chatas. That cannot be done. That's the halacha. So there's nothing that can be done with this animal. It has to be put to death. It has to die. Chatos, hamesos, there are five different animals, all chatos, which must be put to death. And here's the question. Let's say a person comes along and derives benefit. He shears the wool of this chatos and he makes a coat out of it. Is he chayiv for the laws of mi'ila? This chatos is on death row. It's designated to die. Because the owner has died, or whatever the four cases, is there the mi'ila? So the answer is no. There's no mi'ila. Chatos hamesos, umohos, umani hahochos liyam hamelach. Let's say a person sets aside money, the same idea. He sets aside money to purchase a carbon chatos. And before he gets a chance to buy the animal, he dies. So now we have on the table money set aside for the purchase of carbon chatos. What do you do with that money? That money has to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech, destroyed, because there's nothing that we can do with this. This is Halacha L'moshe Misinai. And the rule is, Loinenin V'loi Moyalin. If a person does derive benefit, he is not Chayiv for Mi'ila. So here we have a contradiction. On the one hand, we have a Halacha that talks about a chatos, an animal that dies. You have a real animal. The owner of the animal is alive. The owner is alive, and the animal is all ready to go, and then suddenly the animal dies. So when the animal dies, it is forbidden to derive benefit from the dead animal. And if a person derives benefit, he's chayiv mi'ila. He's chayiv, if he has benefit from the dead animal, he is chayiv for violation of the laws of mi'ila. So we have a contradiction. Okay, so the Gemara, now this is not the point I want to mention, the Gemara gives an answer. The answer is there's a difference between a chatos that dies and the owner is alive, and the chatos hamesos. In both examples, the potential for Mi'ilah is only Midrabanan. It's only Midrabanan, but it's not the Raisa. And we differentiate. Chatos, Hamesos, there's nothing. For whatever reason. An animal that dies, it is also to derive benefit Midrabanan. And if a person does derive benefit, he's Chayef for Mi'ilah Midrabanan. When you say midrabanan, that means there's no carbon asham, but you do have to pay the value plus an additional fifth. No?
What? We learned that
you don't pay the fifth?
There's no chomash either.
No chomash, okay, I'm sorry, no chomash, but you do have to pay the value. Yeah. You do have to pay the value, fine. That's the gemara. Okay, the point I want to make is, there's one, just one small point. But one thing is clear. By chato, and the reason we differentiate between chatos hamesos and another regular chatos, that's the Gemara. The Gemara discusses that. That'll take 10 minutes to go through. It's not the point we want to make. But one thing is clear. If you have the chatos hamesos, and the owner dies, is no longer an owner, this chatos, is there is no prohibition whatsoever. It is there is no prohibition to derive benefit from it. And there's no violation of Mi'ila Afilu Midrabana. It's completely mut. Now, you have to kill it. There's a halacha l'moshe misinai. It must be put to death. And it must be put. You're not allowed to derive benefit. But if you do derive benefit, there is no violation. Let me read the Rashi. I'm getting a little bit confused, but don't worry. Let's read the Rashi. Dibur Hamaschil. Chatos Hamesos. Loi Nani Mehem Midrabanan Di Isur Ika Veloi Mayalin Afilu Midrabanan. The whole lekul meimor loy ma'alim midaraisa av ma'alim midrabban the chamit harz lemeimor haki the cave in the tunnel of bereshka. He goes on to believe Rashi makes it very clear. There's no din ni'ila midrabban even midrabban, but midrabban you're not allowed to derive benefit. Now the problem here is this is a side issue, but I want to bring this as a hakdam to the point I want to make in the Masechta Kiddushin. Masechta Kiddushin, there we have a case where the animal dies. Exact case the Gemara mentioned before, and there the Gemara says that you are not allowed to. Rashi there says you're not allowed to derive benefit from the dead animal min hatoyra. There's no meila. Everyone agrees. That's our Gemara here. Everyone agrees with that question, that the laws of meila do not apply midaraisa. The question is there a prohibition of deriving benefit from a dead animal? According to Rashi, Masechta Kedushin, a carbon chatos that has died, it is osur min hatoira to derive benefit from the dead animal. Here, when we discuss the chatos hanesos, min hatoira, you are allowed to derive benefit. There is a halacha l'moshe misinai that the animal must be put to death. Again, the case is the owner of the animal died. The animal must be put to death. There is no question that min haTorah no longer applies the rules of mi'ila. That's a given. There's no din mi'ila. The question is, are you allowed to derive benefit min haTorah? Rashi here says that when it comes to the chatos hanesos, you are allowed to derive benefit min haTorah. If there's wool on the back of this animal, you're allowed min haTorah to shear the wool and to make a coat. In other words, until they're getting ready to kill the animal, to put the animal into this cage and feed it barley and have its stomach expand and explode, you're allowed to shear the wool and make a nice coat. There's nothing wrong min haTorah. Rashi comes along and says that's not in the spirit of the law. Therefore, midrabanan, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the wool. problem is if we have a case where the animal is not chatos hamesos, the owner of the animal is alive and well, everything is fine and good. It's just that the animal itself suddenly dies, and now they're about to bury the animal, and before they bury the animal, you want to come along and shear off its wool and use the wool to make for yourself a nice sweater. Rashi, Masechet Kedushin, says that it's osur min hatoira to derive benefit from the wool. So all of the Mefarshim asked, the Chagat Stipler and the holder of the Briskerov and the whole long list of Mefarshim asked, what's the difference? This is the point I want to bring out, the Hakdama, to what I want to get to in a moment. What's the difference between Chatois HaMesos and Kodoshim Shemesu? Chatois HaMesos, the animal is alive and well, the owner dies. Min HaToyra, the wool is mutter. You're allowed to use the wool, minatar, midrabar, you're not. But if the owner is alive and the animal dies, it is forbidden to derive benefit from the animal, minatoira. What's the difference? So the nice answer there, Stiles is very nicely said. Very interesting. So he says the difference is as follows. When it comes to the chatos hamesos, the halacha lemozuta, the halacha lemoshim is Sinai, is this animal is put to death. You're finished. There's nothing more that needs to be done. It cannot be redeemed. There is no redemption. There is no way to remove this animal from its destiny. Its destiny is to be put to death. We're finished. Being that we're finished, that means the Torah has removed its Kedusha. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Owner died. Owner doesn't need the carbon. The Kedusha has dissipated. It's gone. It is destined to die. Okay, fine. It's destined to die. Torah took away the Kedusha. When you're dealing with an animal that has an owner, and the animal died, the Kedusha didn't go anywhere. It's just that the animal died. The animal is no longer functional. No one has come along and told us to take away its Kedusha. The animal was here. It was meant to be offered. So let's offer it. It died. Sorry. But no one, that it suffered its own problem. And the truth is, if we could, we would redeem it. How do you redeem an animal? The way you redeem an animal is, you need hamada v'haracha. You have to stand it up on its fours and redeem it. Can we do that in this case? Know that it's dead. Could we redeem, what would we do? If we would be able to, let's say we would put aside that problem of hamada v'haracha, of standing up the animal. If we would redeem it, what would we do with the meat? Well, being that the animal died, we would feed it to an animals. It's nevela, it's not kosher meat. There's another halacha we learned from a pasuk, ein poidim kadashim lahachilin leklavim. We don't redeem kadashim in order to feed it to animals. So the reason why there is no redemption is not because its kedusha has dissipated. It's because, practically speaking, we don't have a way of removing its Kedusha. The Kedusha is there. Okay, this is a very slight point, but it's very fundamental for what I'm about to tell you in a few moments. We have two examples. Chata Shemesu Be'olecha, the owner dies, and Chatas, the owner is alive and well, it's just that the animal has died. When the owner dies, Halacha L'moshe M'sinai steps in and says that its Kedusha, its sanctity, dissipates. And the way he told us that it dissipates, because the Torah told us what to do with the animal. Torah, take this animal, put it to death. If the Torah is telling you to put it to death, it automatically means we're removing its Kedusha. Until now it was Kodesh. If it's Kodesh, go on the Mizbeach. The Torah says, no, it doesn't go on the Mizbeach anymore. I instruct you to put it to death. By giving it a death sentence, the Torah is telling you the Kedusha disappears. But when you're dealing with an animal whose owner is alive and well, and everything was all systems go, and all of a sudden the animal gets stubborn, it dies. No one has come along and has changed the animal's status. The animal changed its own status. Oh, you want to change your own status? Your Kedusha remains. So we'll redeem the Kedusha. Well, we can't, because we need hamada. We need to stand you up. We can't stand you up. Let's say we don't need to stand you up. What are we going to do with you after we redeem you? Well, you're an avela. We'll feed you to a dog. We can't do that either. Okay, so the Kedusha remains. It's just that there's nothing we can do with this Kedusha. Therefore, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the carcass of this animal. Okay, this is how the Stipler explains the difference between the case of Chata Shmesu Be'oleha and the case of a Chatas that actually died. Now, what am I getting to? Here's the Shiloh. A Beis HaKnesses. Does a Beis, let me give you first a halach here in the Mechaber in Simon Kuf Nun Gimel. It's a Chelik Beis of Mishneh Berurah, Kuf Nun Gimel, Se'if Tes. A Beis HaKnesses. And you want to sell the Beis HaKnesses. So what do? Kishamoychem be'anshe kfar Beis HaKnesses. Yichom l'machro, memka olam. You can sell a Beis HaKnesses. Ve'lokech yas v'kol mashiyir. It's a chutz. There's four things you are not allowed to sell. If everyone in the community gets together, the entire community, every member has to be present. And there have to be seven representatives. That's the way it was in ancient times. Today, Allah Almighty, only three. Or even something, even one is enough. But the entire community, all of the members must give their consent. You can sell it to anyone who wants. You can use it for any mundane purpose, but you're not allowed to use a Beis HaKnesses for an activity that is degrading. There are four things that are degrading. One is merchatz. You're not allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses for a bathhouse. Uburski, a tannery. Ubeis Tfila. Ubeis Akise. And you're not allowed to sell it for a Beis Tfila, which means a mikvah. Isn't that what it says? I didn't even notice it said that explicitly. Chutz nimerchas oborsku beis tefila beis akise. You're not allowed to sell it to a base for a base tefila. Okay, for a mikvah. Beis akise. You're not allowed to do this. So this is a very famous truth from Rav Moshe. In Russia, you weren't allowed to have shuls. Okay, we're talking about communist Russia going back, whatever it was, 50 years ago. This child was brought to Rav Moshe. And they had a shul, and there was no mikvah in one of these states, now former Soviet Union, one of these communist sections. You just couldn't go build a shul. There was no mikvah. The only place where they were able to build the mikvah was in the shul. It was transferred, to convert the Beis HaKnesses into a mikvah. So the Pharisee Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do it. Right, you're not allowed to do it. What?
You just said two different things. You said converting a Beis HaKnesses to a mikveh, and before that you said building a mikveh in a shul.
Same thing.
Flatbush, there are many shtiblach that have mikvehs in.
That's not in the shul itself. That's not in the shul itself.
So you're talking about taking the called sanctuary.
Yes, the sanctuary, yes. So it says there, Beferish, you're not allowed to do this. They told Rav Moshe, if we don't do this, then there is no mikveh, period. What's the halacha? So Moshe said it's mutter, because that's not the case of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is where you have a mikvah somewhere else. Just the question is making this into the mikvah. He has a lot of reasons why you're allowed to do it. But in the process of discussing why you're allowed to do it, he brings up our Gemara. He brings up our Gemara and he explains something very interesting. What sanctity does the Beis HaKnesses have? Is it Tashmishei Mitzvah or Kedushas HaGuf? What is an example of Tashmishei Mitzvah? Alul v'nesrik. Dalad minim, the Dalad minim, the lulav, only has Kedusha tzitzis. Only has Kedusha when you're using it for the mitzvah. When you decide that no longer are you going to, or let's say Sukkot is over, and no longer are you going to use this lulav anymore for the mitzvah, automatically the Kedusha dissipates. It disappears. Tzitzis. As long as the tzitzis are my garment, it has sanctity. There are things that you're not allowed to do something that's disgraceful. But once you're no longer using these tzitzis for the mitzvah, tashmisha mitzvah, the kedusha, the sanctity of the mitzvah object dissipates, goes away. Many learn, the Ran learns, that a Beis HaKnesses has the sanctity of tashmisha mitzvah. It's no different than olul v'nesrug, no different than tzitzis. So therefore, Moshe says, what's the issue? There are two issues in selling a shul, converting a shul into a mikvah. Number one is, it's a zilzul, you're not allowed to do it because you're not allowed to. That, he said, is not an issue for many reasons, because there was nowhere else to build a mikvah, and the communists wouldn't let you go and just go build a mikvah and build a shul wherever you want, and also because mikvah, there would be no Taras HaMishpacha, and Priya Revia, and you're allowed to raise Hashem's name for a Saita, for Shalom Bayis, you could certainly build a mikvah. But what about the Kedusha of the shul? A Beis HaKnesses has sanctity. A mikvah doesn't have any sanctity. There is no sanctity. A mikvah, as far as we're concerned, halacha is concerned, it's a bathhouse. It's no different than a bathhouse. So how are you allowed to be mezalzel in the kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses and transform it into a bathhouse. So if you learn that a Beis HaKnesses only has the sanctity of a tashmishei mitzvah, no problem. Once the people in charge have decided no longer are they going to use this Beis HaKnesses for the Beis HaKnesses, automatically its kedusha dissipates. It disappears and no longer has sanctity, and you can do with it whatever you want. If you're no longer going to use the tzitzis anymore for the mitzvah of tzitzis, its sanctity disappears. You can use it as a bookmark. You can use it as string for your eruv. You can use it whatever you want. But the Ramban, what about according to the Ramban? It was the other way around. The Ramban, I think the Ramban says tashmishei mitzvah. The other way around. The Ramban says it has tashmishei mitzvah. But here's the big problem. What about according to the Ramban? The Ramban says that the sanctity of a Beis HaKnesses is on a higher level. It has the same sanctity as Kedushas HaGuf. It's like a carbon. Just like a carbon. And let's discuss the case of a carbon. Let's say you have a carbon oila. This is a halacha. Let's say you have a carbon oila. And the owner no longer needs the owner no longer needs it. Because he got already kapara, he already got kapara of the carbon oila. So what happens? I no longer need it. I no longer need my animal. What do? I let it graze and get a blemish. When it gets a blemish, what happens? I redeem it. When I redeem it, does it retain its sanctity? Yes. There are things you can't do. The psulei hamikdashim, even when you redeem it, even when an animal gets a blemish, let's talk about the further level of sanctity. But let's say the animal gets a blemish. You have an animal, and the animal was set aside to be a carbon ola, a carbon shlamim, and now it gets a blemish. Is it fit anymore for its original purpose? No. Correct? I have a sheep, and it was set aside to be a carbon shlamim, and now it gets a blemish. Can I use it for my carbon shlamim? Absolutely not. So does it retain its sanctity? Yes. A shul, if you learn that a Beis HaKnesses has the status of Kedushas HaGuf, and now the people have decided we're no longer using this room for the Beis HaKnesses. Finished. We're no longer using it for the Beis HaKnesses. So that means it's equivalent, it's no longer fit for a Beis HaKnesses. And it starts out, according to the Ran, with Kedushas HaGuf. So it's like an animal that got a blemish. Does it retain its sanctity? Yes. If it retains its sanctity, can I use the pi halacha for a bathhouse? Absolutely not. So Rav Moshe asked the question, what's going on? If we have your Beis HaKnesses, forget about the issue of we're going to convert into a bathhouse, into a mikvah. If the Beis HaKnesses has the sanctity of Kedushas Tashmishei Mitzvah, no problem. Once the owners have decided we're no longer going to use this, the community decides we're no longer going to use this for a Beis HaKnesses, its sanctity dissipates. But if you learn that a Beis HaKnesses has a higher degree of Kedusha, it's like Kedushas HaGuf, and that's the Ran says, it's equivalent to the sanctity of a carbon. So once the community decides we're no longer going to use this room as a Beis HaKnesses, that's just like a carbon animal developing a blemish, it's no longer going to be used for its original intent. But so what? An animal that gets a blemish is still maintains its sanctity, and you're not allowed to be mezazel in its kedusha. So how then can you use it for a bathhouse? So long comes our Moses and incredible chiddush. A shul, even if it has kedusha saguf, if the community decides they're no longer going to use as a Beis HaKnesses, it's like chatos shemesu be'oleha.
Oh.
And chatos shemesu be'olecha, we just went through and described this fundamental difference between chatos shemesu be'olecha and the case of an animal that dies. When the owner no longer exists, because the owner died, then the kedusha dissipates. We just made that distinction between chatos shemesu be'olecha. It's mutter min hatoira to derive benefit from the animal. Midrabban, you're not allowed to. In Chanan, you're not allowed to derive benefit. In contrast to what we learned, what we mentioned from Kedushin, where the owners are alive and the animal dies, it's also Minat Torah to derive benefit. If the community decides we are no longer using this structure for Beis HaKnesses, they are no longer Ba'olim, they are no longer owners. The ownership has been severed. If the ownership has been severed, it's a room whose owner has died or has gone away. What happens? According to our Gemara, the Kedusha disappears. Min HaTorah, you're allowed to do with it whatever you want. It's just that Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to. So Moshe says, even if you learn that the Kedushas of Beis HaKnesses is Kedushas HaGuf, that's only a Kedushas HaGuf Midrabbanan. An animal that has Kedushas HaGuf is a Kedushas HaGuf Midraisa. Then, when the owner dies, it's also to derive benefit Midrabbanan. But when the Kedushas HaGuf starts off, it's one notch lower. It's starting off on a Kedushas HaGuf Midrabbanan. And then the owner dies. There's no Kedusha whatsoever, and you're allowed to derive benefit from these structures. So this is a fascinating idea that, to bring out these points, what we have doing somewhere, we're doing somewhere, we said very quickly, somewhere, we have over here. We have over here two different Gemaras. A Gemara Masechta Me'ilah and a Gemara Masechta Kedushin. The Gemara Masechta Me'ilah talks about Kedusha, Chat, Chato, Shemesu Be'olech. Then we have Kedushin talks about a Chatas, owner is alive. It's just that the object is no longer functional. If the object is no longer functional, but the people want to use it, the Kedusha remains in the Natara, you're not allowed to derive benefit in the Natara. But if the owners disappear, then we learn from our Gemara, from our Rashi here, the Kedusha disappears. A Beis HaKnesses, what has sanctity? Now let me give me Mazal from this Kedusha. What sanctity does it have? If you learn that it has a light degree of sanctity, a sanctity of Kedusha, Tashmishay Mitzvah, very easy. Once the owner decides not going to go use it, so it's no less than tzitzis, no less than a lulav, whose sanctity completely disappears, and you can really make her hadin, you can do with it whatever you want. You can do with it whatever you want. There's no sanctity whatsoever. Even if you want to be machmir, and unlike the Ran, and say that a Beis HaKnesses has a higher sanctity, has sanctity of Kedush Saguf, and so then you'll tell me you got a problem then, because when the Kedush Saguf goes away, a carbon animal that's no longer fit to be offered as a carbon gets a blemish, there's a problem with the animal, it retains its sanctity. Okay, but in the situation where the community decides they're no longer going to use this room as a Beis HaKnesses, it's equivalent to the case of Chato Shemesu Be'oleha, in which we learned the Kedusha completely disappears. And even though you're telling, but Rashi here says that it's still also Midrabanan, because that's the case that we're discussing here, is dealing with the Kedusha Guf Midraisa. So then when the owner dies, so there'll be some vestige to Kedusha Midrabanan. But when you're dealing with the Beis HaKnesses, even the Ran that says the Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha Saguf, but that's only a Kedusha Saguf Midrabanan. So now when Shemesu Be'olecha, the owners disappear. In this case, how do the owners disappear? Through their decision that they're no longer going to use for the Beis HaKnesses, the Kedusha completely disappears from this room. And therefore, there's no legal prohibition from using this room for anything that you want to do. So, and Allah has come when you're coming to the mitzvah of Tahara, Tahara Samishpacha, yeah. Pre-Revia, certainly you can use it, the Kedusha.
The room maybe, but parts of this room you cannot use. In other words, if you want to be
in the Aron Kodesh. That's another shah. The Chaznish talks about that. The Aron, he says, the higher Kedusha. Right, but that's also...
Your sukkah is the same way.
Yeah, we
sukkah, if you want to cut the walls down, you can't throw it in the garbage.
But just something to keep in mind, these very beautiful ideas of Tashmish and Mitzvah, Kedusha Saguf, what is the Beis HaKnesses, the Machlokes Rishonim, and where does the Kedusha go? How did it go? If a community decides we're going to sell the shul, right, this is the big issue we spoke about before. The community decides we're going to sell. Who or what? They decide to sell.
Well, they build a new one.
But let's say, so what happens to the old one? Mm-hmm. Where did the Kedusha go? Where did it go?
No,
you learn the color, so you think about Chadash Shmeisu Be'olecha, it's probably the most, the halach that's the least practical from Chol Terukul. The first thing we learned in high school, Chadash Shmeisu Be'olecha. There's anything that's not practical, it's Chadash Shmeisu Be'olecha. We don't have Bizman as their Kurbanus. Shemesu Be'olecha, Tumur Schatas, Vlad Chatas, it's Mamish Nogel Lach Lamaisa. A Beis HaKnesses, the Tzibur decides they're not going to use it anymore. Kedushas HaGuf, Shemesu Be'olecha, it's equivalent concept. What happens to the Kedusha? We learn here, Mi'ila, Daf Gimel, out of nowhere. Rashi says, it's also Midrabanan, but Midatayrah? No Kedusha. This animal was once fascinating. You don't think about it like this. This animal was meant to go as a carbon on the Mizbeach. That's the highest level of Kedusha possible when you learn Kedushin. That's the highest Kedusha possible. And we're always familiar. Oh, gets a blemish. Oh, get a blemish. Oh, no, big trouble. So we have to go redeem it. But until you redeem it, that's Kedusha. And even when you redeem it, you only can eat it. You can't, when you redeem it, you only eat it. You can't go sell it in the market. You can put it on a scale. Your limitations. But yet we learn today, that's true when the animal gets a blemish or when the animal dies. But if the owner dies, he disappears from the face of the earth. Unbelievable, this object which had the ultimate sanctity goes from 100% to zero in a flash. Just like that. And okay, but also Midrabanan. It's no halacha l'maisa. Where the tzibur gives a kedusha and the tzibur now disappears. They disappear, no more tzibur. Shemesu b'oleha, the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, zero.
So you can sell a shul?
Absolutely.
So we had in Crown Heights when I left, they were selling shuls to a lot of little churches.
That's a prohibition of, that's what Shulchan Aruch says. You're not allowed to sell it. It's also a midrabban. Especially Chana Chazad, that when you sell a shul, you're not allowed to sell it for a minig bezoin.
To a million minig
bezoin, a borsaki, to go sell it as a bathhouse, to go sell it as a tannery shop. So a church is even a bigger bezoin. So that's a special takana. That people should not say that this is unshul, not turned into a church. That's a separate issue. But let's talk about, we're not talking about that takon, that's a separate. Even if you're not allowed to do it, it has sanctity. There's Dover Shabbi Kedusha till it has sanctity. You can't just go do whatever you want with it. You have to bury it, you have to do certain things, there's certain sanctity. How can you go sell a shul, period? The answer is. Well, if it's Kedushas Mitzvah, it's much lighter. The whole issue is not even a problem. But even if you want to learn, it's Kedushas Haguf, like the Ran. This is out of nowhere. Would you ever think of such a thing like this? Chata Shemesu B'Haleha, puff of smoke. And even though the Rabbanan, that's where the Kedusha starts off in the Torah. But where the Kedushas Haguf of a Beis HaKnesses is limited to Rabbanan, then the puff of smoke goes down to zero. Practical halacha.
That's from the